Thank you for everybody who's had a part in the service. Gene and the team and Pastor Bart, thank you for that prayer this morning. Appreciate it very much. Andrew, for your report. If you want to give to Andrew, he and Brittany need hundreds of dollars. I'm sure that's an accurate way to put it. There's going to be a basket in the back. Is there a basket back there right now already, Tom? Okay, well, somebody will see there after the service. There will be a basket in the foyer. And if you make your check out to Troutdale Community Church, of course, it's tax deductible. And then we will make a check to Andrew for their travel expenses. We're going to help them with that. So thank you for that, Andrew. Looks like a great program, and we're excited to be part of it with you. I'm going to be in Acts 27 this morning. We're almost finished with the book of Acts today. And then next Sunday, we will finish the book of Acts next Sunday in terms of our series here. And then in September, we will be moving on into Ephesians. So we're almost done. What an exciting story we have to read today about a ship voyage and a great storm and a shipwreck. So it's great. And I was telling somebody earlier this morning, I thought about not reading this whole text. It takes 6 minutes to read it. But you can't just read part of it because it's one story. So buckle your seatbelts. We're going to read this and see what the Lord does with us. We're here in anticipation this morning. How will the Lord speak to us? And we're all part of that. So let's all be much in prayer as we move forward. I want to say welcome to a special friend, Raleigh, who's here this morning and who will be back on this. I should mention this. There is a service here on the 25th when some of us will be camping. So if you're not camping, please come to church. You'll see Raleigh there, and you'll see also a couple who were here last week. So so welcome, brothers. Good to have you here. Acts chapter 27. This is the word of God. And when it was decided that we should sail for Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to a centurion of the Augustan cohort named Julius. And embarking in a ship of Adramyttium, which was about to sail to the ports along the coast of Asia, we put to sea, accompanied by Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica. The next day we put in at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him leave to go to his friends and be cared for. And putting out to sea from there, we sailed under the lee of Cyprus because the winds were against us. And when we had sailed across the open sea along the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra in Lycia. There a centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing for Italy and put us on board. We sailed slowly for a number of days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus. And as the wind did not allow us to go farther, we sailed under the lee of Crete off Salmon. Coasting along it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens, near which was the city of Lycia. Since much time had passed, and the voyage was now dangerous because even the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives." But the centurion paid more attention to the pilot and to the owner of the ship than to what Paul said. And because the harbor was not suitable to spend the winter in, the majority decided to put out to sea from there on the chance that somehow they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete facing both southwest and northwest, and spend the winter there. Now, when the south wind blew gently, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they weighed anchor and sailed along Crete close to the shore. But soon a tempestuous wind called the Northeaster struck down from the land. And when the ship was caught and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and were driven along. Running under the lee of a small island called Cauda, we managed with difficulty to secure the ship's boat. After hoisting it up, they used supports to undergird the ship. Then, fearing that they would run aground on the Syrtis, they lowered the gear, and thus they were driven along. Since we were violently storm-tossed, they began the next day to jettison the cargo. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned. Since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete and incurred this injury and loss. Yet now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night there stood before me an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I worship, and he said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. But we must run aground on some island.' When the 14th night had come, as we were being driven across the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors suspected that they were nearing land. So they took a sounding and found 20 fathoms. A little farther on, they took a sounding again and found 15 fathoms. And fearing that we might run on the rocks, they let down 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship and had lowered the ship's boat under the pretense of laying out anchors from the bow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, 'Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved.' Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the ship's boat and let it go. As day was about to dawn, Paul urged them all to take some food, saying, 'Today is the 14th day that you have continued in suspense and without food, having taken nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take some food. It will give you strength, for not a hair is to perish from the head of any of you.' And when he had said these things, he took bread, and giving thanks to God in the presence of all, he broke it and began to eat. Then they all were encouraged and ate some food themselves. We were in all 276 persons in the ship. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, throwing out the wheat into the sea. Now when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they noticed a bay with a beach on which they planned, if possible, to run the ship ashore. So they cast off the anchors and left them in the sea, at the same time loosening the ropes that tied the rudders. Then, hoisting the foresail to the wind, they made for the beach. But striking a reef, they ran the vessel aground. The bow stuck and remained immovable, and the stern was being broken up by the surf. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wishing to save Paul, kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and make for the land, and the rest on planks or on pieces of the ship. And so it was that all were brought safely to land." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Father, we gather here this morning because we need to hear from you. What an amazing God you are, Lord of the wind, Lord of the sea. show us this morning that there is nothing that we can face which is not under your providential control, that all things are directed according to your purposes, and that when even the enemy tries to get at us, we remain safely in your hand. We're a needy people, Lord. We're a blessed people and a needy people. Needy because that's what it means to be human. Blessed because you're our Father. So speak to us today. We want to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Every first grader in Sunday school knows the story of Jonah and the whale. Actually, Jonah and the big fish. That's what the Bible says, a big fish. A fish so big, it could swallow Jonah, and that's exactly what happened, of course. Poor Jonah got swallowed. But in the mercy and providence of God, he was saved when he was spit out on dry ground, and then he went to Nineveh and preached. Now, that story in the Old Testament has some very interesting parallels with this story in the New Testament. Both have a prophet on a ship in the Mediterranean with some sailors who don't know the one true God, and a great storm. Lots of drama. And in the end, both have the same lesson. But in a way, they are opposites, because in the Jonah story, it begins with the prophet running away from God. That's when he gets in trouble and ends up in a stinky fish belly for 3 days. Then he learns his lesson. And it's the same lesson that we have here in Acts 27. And here it is. In 8 words, God's assignment is the safest place on earth. See, God is up to something. God doesn't just sit around in his celestial living room, as it were. He's up to something in the world. That's what Acts is about. It's about God on mission. And he has a part for you in that. He has an assignment for you. And God's assignment is the safest place on earth. Back in chapter 20, we read that God's purposes are bigger than your preferences. You remember that maybe? We saw there that God has an assignment for you. And Paul's testimony there was that finishing that assignment is worthy of your suffering. He says in verse 24, "But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus." What was your assignment, Paul? To testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Today we will see another angle about God's assignment. Today's story tells us that God's assignment is the safest place on earth. If God sends you into a storm at sea, you're in the safest place. Has anyone here ever been in a storm at sea? No? Me neither. Oh, okay. We do have a couple of people who have been in a storm at sea. Maybe we'll talk to them afterwards and see a couple of Navy guys, maybe. And yet, this, of course, was in a very primitive vessel. Now, I've never been in a storm at sea in any kind of vessel. I've read about storms at sea. I've seen movies that depict storms at sea. And I have to say, it doesn't look very safe. It looks very, very frightening. But if God sends you there, if you're on assignment from God, it's the safest place you could be. Because when you're on assignment from God, your safety is God's problem. So it's not likely that your assignment from God will ever put you a storm at sea, but every Christian has an assignment. And sometimes we're reluctant to receive that assignment from God and to move forward in the pursuit of our assignment from God because of fear. We're afraid of what might happen to us. If I really pursue what God has for me, I don't know what might happen to me. I might experience financial difficulty. Someone might reject me. I might be ridiculed. Some Christians on assignment from God end up in prison. That's happening today, of course, mostly in other parts of the world. It could come here someday. But whether it does or not, the question still applies. Can I trust God? If I serve God, how do I know He'll take care of me? One way we see that in the Christian world is when young people are considering missionary service. God still calls people into missionary service. And sometimes people are reluctant because I don't know about this. Or their parents, actually maybe more than them, can kind of resist that and say, no. You need to get a real job. That missionary stuff is not for you. You could starve. You need a job that pays you, you see. But it's not only would-be missionaries that have this problem. At some point, every Christian has to face the fear of what will happen to me if I obey God. And this story answers that question. It tells us that God's assignment is the safest place on earth. This is one of the most dramatic stories in the New Testament. Paul's journey to Rome by ancient ship. It has suspense, anxiety, dread, danger, terror, intrigue, despair, courage, and above all, deliverance. What a forceful story, an amazing account of the mighty power and providence of God. And Luke tells us three things here about God's assignment being the safest place on earth. There's a handout in your bulletin if you want to use that. In verses 1 to 12, he talks about difficulty and he says that God's assignment is a place of confidence in difficulty. The story begins calmly enough, but difficulty comes very quickly, and God gives confidence in that difficulty. In the beginning, it's all smooth. They get on a ship, they sail up the coast a little ways, they stop in at Sidon. The centurion allows Paul to see his friends. The first sign of difficulty comes in verse 4, where it says, "The winds were against us." That's a little hint for much more wind that's coming. In verse 7, it says, "The sailing is going slowly." They arrive with difficulty off a place called Cnidus. The wind is picking up. They have to get in the lee of the island of Crete, that is, where the wind's not blowing. They want the island between them and the wind. Verse 8 again mentions difficulty. And now they're in a place called Fair Havens. Did you see that? Verse 8, Fair Havens. Now that sounds pretty good, but it won't do for long. It's not a good place to spend the winter, it says there right at the end of verse 12. All this difficulty. And then we hear from Paul, who is, of course, the main human character, as the word cloud indicates there. This is the story of Paul's voyage to Rome. Acts 13 to 28 is almost entirely built around the life of Paul. He's on assignment from God. And it's important to listen when Paul speaks in this story And at verse 9, we see that God's assignment is a place of confidence in difficulty. Look at verse 9. Since much time had passed, and the voyage was now dangerous because even the fast was already over. That is the Day of Atonement. It came in the fall and was a sort of marker for the good weather. After the Day of Atonement, you can't count on good weather for sailing. Paul knew that. He advised them, saying, "Sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives." Now, a little bit later, Paul will repeat something that he hears from God through an angel. Here, he's speaking from his own experience and judgment. "I perceive," he says, and of course, he's mostly right in what he says, even if he's mistaken about the loss of life. "I perceive the loss of our lives. By the mercy of God, nobody loses his life." But otherwise, Paul is right here, and what we're seeing in that statement is the confidence that comes from being on assignment with God. Confidence in difficulty. That word advised, Paul advised them, it says in the ESV. The tense shows us that Paul is speaking repeatedly and urgently to these leaders, the Roman centurion and the captain and the owner. What does he know about sailing? But he has a confidence that comes because he's on assignment. And in this difficulty, he still has confidence. He gets overruled, of course. In verse 11, it says the centurion paid more attention to the pilot and the owner of the ship. Fancy that. Actually, he will get an education in this. Before the end of the story, he will be listening to Paul more carefully. But nevertheless, Paul is accurate. He's in difficulty. They're all in difficulty. And in difficulty, Paul has the confidence that comes not from education, not from strong will, not from being smarter than everybody else. It's the confidence that comes from being on assignment with God. That's where he got the confidence. See, God's assignment is a place of confidence in difficulty. Now let's think about that for a minute. Everybody has difficulty. Every human has difficulty, of course. We live in a fallen world. Times when we're not sure what to do. But when you're on assignment from God and difficulty comes, that can give you confidence. Here's a little story to illustrate. Some of you have heard me tell this story before, but it's such a perfect illustration. I'm driving with my family through South Dakota in the dead of winter, in the middle of the night, and my car starts to act up. I have my family, Valerie and our two sons. We were on assignment. We had been to the Urbana Missions Conference. We had visited with family. Now we were on our way back to Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, where we served as missionaries. And we'd been having, this was a 2-week trip, and we'd had car trouble the whole 2 weeks. Had done a bunch of repairs. What we thought now we had it fixed. But on that very cold night on the prairies, the engine started to miss. And you know that empty feeling you get in your gut? That's what I had. Here I was in the dark with my family in the middle of nowhere. Cold. What in the world was I going to do? So I took my foot off the gas and I prayed, "Father, I can't bear to think I'm going to have any more. I couldn't bear any more car trouble. Please, don't let me have more. Please, I'm going to step on the gas again. Please make this car run right." So I stepped on the gas again. And what do you suppose? It was still missing. But here's the amazing thing. That empty feeling in my gut was gone. And I was flooded with peace, with confidence, because I knew it was as if God were saying to me, "You know what? "You're not done having car trouble, Brumbolo. You're going to have some more car trouble." And I just realized, you know what? It doesn't matter. He's the one who's in control. He's the one who's in charge. Confidence in difficulty. When you're on assignment, don't run away from God's assignment. That's where you have confidence in difficulty. That's what we see here in this text. And we also see the second thing, that when danger comes, okay, so it's one thing for difficulty, but this story builds now from difficulty to very perilous danger. And when danger comes, God's assignment is a place of composure in danger. Now, that section goes all the way from 13 to 38. Verse 12 tells us that the majority decided, all right, let's try to get to Phoenix. If we can just make it to Phoenix, we can spend the winter there. And so this gentle south wind, we read in 13, starts to blow, and they think, okay, now we've got it. We've got what we need. And they supposed that this was their chance. They started off. It's less than 50 miles to Phoenix. The wind is right. Let's get going. And then Luke, who writes the story and is along on this voyage, walks us step by step through the growing danger that comes, that sets in immediately. Look at verse 14. "But soon a tempestuous wind called the Northeaster struck down from the land. And when the ship was caught and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and were driven along. Running under a lee of a small island called Cauda, we managed with difficulty to secure the ship's boat. After hoisting it up, they used supports to undergird the ship. Then, fearing that they would run aground on the Syrtis, they lowered the gear, and thus they were driven along. Since we were violently storm-tossed, they began the next day to jettison the cargo. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands." The writer is describing an extremely high level of danger here. A typhoon wind. The sailors had a name for it. They called it Uraquilo. Almost as if it were alive. And the ship was caught in it. The ship and everyone on it was helpless before this wind. They get caught behind this little island of Cauda long enough to pull the ship's boat in that had been trailing along behind. They pass ropes under the ship to try to hold it together. They drop an anchor off the stern in an effort to slow the ship down as it plunges down those enormous waves. And then they start throwing the cargo off. And did you see how Luke wrote that in verse 19? This was not an accident that the ship's tackle, the gear that it takes to run the ship, with their own hands, they pick it up and throw it in the sea in their desperate, frantic attempt to survive. And it gets even more incredible. They're in this predicament, this life or death struggle, in an unbelievably violent storm for 2 weeks. 2 weeks, 14 days of this. And the clouds are hiding the sun and stars, so they have no reference points to know where they are or even what direction they're going. They're lost at sea in a deadly storm. And they finally give in to despair. Verse 20, "When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned." And that's when we hear again from God's servant on God's assignment, and we see that God's assignment is a place of composure in danger. Verse 21, "Since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, 'Men, you should have listened to me and not set sail from Crete and incurred this injury and loss. Yet now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night there stood before me an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I worship, and he said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. Look where Paul gets his composure here, friends. He's heard from God. 10 reassuring words that make all the difference. Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. In other words, this little storm is nothing. It doesn't even show up on God's radar. It's irrelevant to the purposes of God. You know what I thought of when I read that? I thought, remember in the Gospels, the disciples out on the Sea of Galilee in the boat, and Jesus is with them, and a storm comes up in the night. And these are weathered, seasoned, experienced fishermen. They do this all the time. And they were scared out of their mind in this storm. And where was Jesus? He was asleep in the bottom of the boat. Remember that story? And they wake him up and they say, Master, don't you even care? We're about to go down here. You see, that's the same one who's in charge now. Don't be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. The outcome is already assured. Beloved, if you find yourself in a storm, in danger on your pilgrimage, on your assignment, just remember this text. God's assignment is the safest place in the world. While you're on assignment from God, nothing can happen to you that He does not allow. His assignment is a place of composure in danger. Stay on course. Stay on course. It's when you turn away from God's assignment that you get in trouble. You could get swallowed by something. But if you abide in Jesus, if you allow God's purposes to direct you, His grace to provide for you, there's no safer place. It's a place of composure and danger. You must stand before Caesar, Paul. Don't worry about this little storm. This little tempest in a teapot. It's nothing. What's happening here? You see what's happening here? There's an enemy who wants to destroy Paul, who wants to interfere with what God is doing through this great apostle. So he throws up this storm. The devil wants to destroy Paul. But Satan's efforts are utterly futile against the purposes of God. You see, no storm, no disease, no cost, no trial of Satan can succeed against what God wants to do in you and through you. And we'll see that here. Because the storm continues and the danger grows, but God has spoken. Verse 27, when the 14th night had come, as they were being driven across the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors suspected that they were nearing land. Somehow they could tell a difference in the action of the waves, maybe. So they took a sounding and found 20 fathoms. They let down a line, a weighted line with marks on it, so they know how deep the ocean is there, and they find that's 120 feet deep. That was about midnight. A little farther on, they did it again, and now it's only 90 feet deep. We're approaching land. We're approaching land. Verse 29, fearing that we might run on the rocks, they let down four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. They want land, but they don't want to get there in the dark. They're all afraid they'll be dashed on the rocks. And Paul reassures them and actually leads in prayer before they eat for the first time in 2 weeks. So perilous has been this storm. And now we come, that's in verses 33 to 38. We're going to jump now to the climax, the shipwreck, and the third way of seeing that God's assignment is the safest place on earth. We've gone beyond difficulty that lends confidence. Let me say that again. We've gone beyond difficulty in which being on assignment from God gives us confidence. We've gone on now beyond composure and danger. Now we hit disaster. And we see that God's assignment is a place of protection in disaster. In verses 39 to 44. Now when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they noticed a bay with a beach on which they planned, if possible, to run the ship ashore. Day is slowly dawning. They're peering into the growing light to see if they can recognize this place. They're studying the landscape in the distance. It's not hard to imagine their thoughts. Where are we? Does anybody recognize this place? Is there a harbor here? Can we safely get to land? And if we manage to get there, will we be safe? Their weary eyes are scanning for every detail. And they decide to go for it. They cast off the anchors, left them in the sea, loosened the ropes that tied the rudders, hoist the foresail to the wind, and make for the beach. But they don't get there. The bow hits a sandbar. We've had ships stuck out here in the ocean in this day and age. There was a ship out there for what? A couple of years? So we're dealing with realities here in the marine environment. The bow of the ship gets stuck on the sand and the surf is pounding the stern. It's just taking it apart and things are looking very bleak. In fact, believe it or not, there's one more level of threat. Look at this, verse 42. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners lest any should swim away and escape. They're accountable. If something happens to the prisoners that they're in custody of, taking them to the emperor in Rome, they're accountable with their own life. So Paul, who's one of the prisoners, he's a hair's breadth from death right there. But look at verse 43. But the centurion, wishing to save Paul, kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and make for the land, and the rest on planks or on pieces of the ship. You see what's happening here? There's a servant of God on board. A servant on assignment. So he and everybody with him is in the safest place in the world. It's a place of protection in disaster. And in this story, protection looks like terra firma. Solid ground under your feet. The last half of verse 44. And so it was that all were brought safely to land. Protection from disaster. What does disaster look like in the life of a Christian on assignment today? So not many of us are going to experience shipwreck and get stranded on an island somewhere while we're on assignment. But we face the possibility of disaster. What does that look like on assignment from God, which is should what that should be characteristic of our whole life. It's not something you do for a while and then come back, you see. It's a whole life assignment. And what if we follow God? What could disaster look like? Well, it could be the loss of a badly needed job. It could be abandonment by a spouse. It could be a child who rebels against your service to Christ. Rejection by someone very close to you. Here's the point, my friends. You're on a pilgrimage. You're on an assignment from God. In a fallen world, God is doing something about the brokenness of the world. That's what's happening here in Acts 27. And here Paul is the servant of God. And today you are the servant of God. If you've been born again by the Spirit of God, you're His servant on assignment. He has a place for you, a kingdom assignment for you. He doesn't guarantee comfort or ease or smooth sailing. All that is coming upon a day. It's coming. But in the meantime, you may experience disaster. You may come into a storm. But He's the Lord of the wind. He told Nicodemus, do you remember what He said to Nicodemus about the wind? The wind blows wherever it wants to. Until He stands up and says to the wind, stop. That's enough. And the wind has to obey Him. He's the Lord of the wind. He's the Lord of the storm. And He allows no wind or no storm in your life but what suits His purposes. When you're on assignment and face disaster, He promises protection. His purposes will prevail. His protection trumps any earthly disaster. His protection is bigger than, more powerful than, it trumps anything that can happen to you on this earth. Now maybe somebody's thinking, wait a minute, preacher. What about those Christians in Syria and Iraq who are being killed for their faith? So yeah, this story ends with Paul safely on dry ground, but I guess it doesn't apply to those Christians in the Middle East today, right? And actually, of course, that's the most profound part of this truth, you see. Think about it for a minute. What's the very worst thing that can happen to you on earth? And what does Jesus say about that? Do not fear those who kill the body and after that have nothing more they can do. You see, the Christian who is on assignment from God and dies in the pursuit of that assignment, what happens to that person? He rises to glory with Christ. He transcends the difficulties and the dangers and the disasters of this world. He rises there because death also is subject to Jesus Christ, because He died. And He rose again forever. And He took away the sting of death. Paul mocks it, as it were, in his first letter to the Corinthians. Where is your victory, O death? Where is your sting? Because one stood to say, I am the resurrection and the life. Don't fear to serve Jesus Christ today. Walk in His way. Fulfill His assignment. It's the safest place on this planet. Storms may rise on seas unknown while we journey toward our home. Surely we'll learn what grace is for as we sail to heaven's shore. Lord, we trust Your Father's care will convey us safely there. Open or seal off every door as we sail to heaven's shore. Draw us near, O finest friend. from dawn's light to evening's end. Each passing day we love you more as we sail to heaven's shore. Gene, come and lead us.